It is Thought Leader Thursday here on the Opening Bell, and we're happy to have with us Don Lloyd today. Don is the SVP and Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange, Rate Swaps, and Commodity Derivatives at Associated Bank. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Steve, good morning. Good to see you again.
Where do we begin? Why not trade? Let's start with trade. A note that so much is going on, it's hard to keep track of it from day to day. But, you know, one of the headlines of recent days is the European Union top trade official there says that these steel and aluminum tariffs the U.S. has imposed have hurt or will distort, in her words, global trade and could damage hopes for economic growth. This is sort of a hot potato, and it has to be handled delicately, yes or no?
Absolutely. Yep. But how refreshing to finally get some fresh news coming into the markets other than yield differentials interspersed with geopolitical events that sort of bubble to the top. Now we're talking about some real economic fundamentals that are different from the yield trades that are going out there, the interest rate differential trades that are going out there. Trade. So how fun is that? I mean, finally we get to sit there and read different things and talk about different things. And the whole trade discussion is one that's going to go on for months and months, if not years. And it's just something fresh to talk about. But it should be taken very seriously. It is a real event. It is going to have real impacts that will be global in the markets.
And it seems like the China on the other side of this is picking its team for dodgeball on the sidelines, if you will. There was a report from Reuters that China is working with some countries to try to, in this report's words, build a firewall against the United States.
Sure.
That's kind of serious.
Absolutely. When you get into trade negotiations and unfair trade practices and accusations and the words are flying back and forth between countries, it's always good to have your dodgeball team or your posse with enough people and enough countries involved so that you get the attention of the big guy sitting over there, which is the United States. Not that China's not big, but China's not the size of the United States. So it's all about posturing and leverage as far as I'm concerned right now. And that's what China's doing. They're trying to sit there and get their group together and say, hey, here's a bunch of countries that sort of agree with our position. And let's bring that to the table when we talk about just how far do you want these tariffs to really go.
And when we say bringing that to the table, are we talking that perhaps that there'll be, you know, deals, side deals with those countries and China leaving us out?
Even though they're not talking about it and you don't see that, I'm sure those discussions are happening right now. There's no question about that. You're seeing them in the next tier type countries already where China's going in and talking to Japan, not to say Japan's next tier, but you're seeing those types of side discussions. They're becoming publicized already. I'm sure there's channels of communication that are open between the U.S. and China right now.
This whole notion of protectionism on our shores, how is this impacting the markets that you're working with every day?
Surprisingly, in the foreign exchange markets, they are as quiet can be right now. Everyone's watching. You know, it's sort of like racehorses in the gate. You know, they're waiting to bolt one way or the other. But April has always been historically probably the least volatile time of all the months of the year. So we're right in the middle of that. And there is just nothing flowing through the foreign exchange markets that's going to move the currencies one way or the other. There's a lot of information that's out there. And there's a lot of, let's see how these develop categories, whether it's the inflation rate here in the U.S. or inflation and growth over in Europe, whether it's Brexit sitting back there, whether it's trade discussions. There's a lot of things to keep eyes on. But surprisingly, the markets have been very, very quiet, not only foreign exchange markets, but if you take a look at the yield curve in the U.S. interest rate market, very, 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 very passive.
You mentioned the inflation. The Federal Reserve president from San Francisco, John Williams, said recently that he thinks inflation is going to stay in the 2% goal, where and not move in one way or the other. How does that add to this discussion that we've been having?
Yeah. The capital flows from countries have been driven so much by yield, interest rate differentials. As money flows from one country to another, again, that return versus some amount of risk, that's yield driven. with inflation staying at 2%, which is the target in the, here in the U.S., and the yield curve is flaccid as it is, and flattening even more as short-term interest rates start to bubble up as the Fed tightens, and the long-term, the long side of the yield curve really is coming down or staying pretty much neutral. You get this flattening of the yield curve, and it's pretty flat to begin with. Those are big events that are out there that are causing flows not to really occur the way we think they're going to occur. Now, everybody would think that with short-term rates going up, that yield curve would steepen up a little bit, but it hasn't. So, again, the interest rate markets are very, very docile. Where is inflation? And that's the big question. With employment, or the unemployment rate coming down, employment rate going up, everybody's talking about wage push and where does the inflation start? But it's nowhere on the spectrum yet, just yet. I mean, we haven't seen it. Again, that's one of those things that the market's looking at with anticipation. Where is it going to come? And then you have statements like this coming out saying, yeah, inflation, don't really worry about it. You know, we don't see it on the horizon for the intermediate term.
What would be the worry? Where would it come from if it's going to develop in a negative way? We've seen oil prices climbing. Would it come in gas prices and energy prices?
Yeah, first place I look at is commodity prices. You know, take a look at you know, not just oil and gas, but you know, lumber, you know, materials for building, those types of things. Commodity prices is where the first place that I'll look for it at. The next place behind that will be wages. You know, wait until real wages start going up. Those would be the first two places that I would look.
We've been hearing a lot recently about, you know, where we're going to go with these interest rates this year, 3 or 4. Does it really matter at this point if it's 3 or 4?
I don't think it is. The market is talking about it. The market expects it. Whether you get 3, whether you get 4, it's on the margin right there. I mean, you know, where are we going to be 2 to 3 years down the road? The rate of change, the rate of speed that these things occur, you know, is this a 24-month event? Is this going to be a 5-year event? That probably has more sensitivity to the market than anything, is the rate of these increases that are coming out. I think everybody expects that short-term rates are going up. I think, you know, the categories of your inflationary events that you're going to watch are out there, and they're being monitored and watched. So to me, it's just more of a matter of timing than number.
So where are people making money in the international markets and in the global markets?
That's a great question. That really is a great question. The equity markets tend to be the only thing that are really sort of jostling around to any degree. Mm-hmm. And that's more nervous movement than anything. You know, to me, when it comes to trade, as this trade conflict between the U.S. and China continues to expand, goods and services are still going to have to be purchased. Okay, whether it's domestically or internationally. So you're going to have all these countries that traditionally have not been involved or uncompetitive suddenly become more competitive or more in demand. That the demand for goods, if you're exporting goods, if you're importing goods, it's got to go somewhere. And in the United States, if we're importing from China or exporting to China, and no longer can we because tariffs make that economically unfeasible, they're going to go someplace else. You're going to see a whole tier of countries come in to fill those voids, and you're going to see trade negotiations and trade agreements between those countries. The peanut butter gets spread out is what happens. I think it's great for international trade. Pick your countries, you know, which ones are going to be right. Take a look at Japan's been benefiting, for example. Right. Take a look at the Japanese trade surplus that came out. The U.S. exports to Japan, and those exports increased by about 0.2% year over year with the United States, between Japan and the United States. Between Japan and China, the same period of time, 1 month, same period last year, increased over 10%. So there's China right there, or there's Japan right there, basically benefiting from this conflict going on between the U.S. and China. Now, replicate that. Replicate that across 5-10 different countries that are out there. So to me, international investments is the place to be as far as I'm concerned. My portfolio sort of weighted that a little bit. And it's not because of the dollar and the exchange rate move, because as exchange rates move, that's either going to be additive or a negative factor on your return, the whole currency event. But the global economies for the next tier, and I call them next tier, but the smaller type economies, not that Japan is small, but it's relative, all of those are going to start pushing their way up. And all of those are going to benefit greatly from this tariff the longer these discussions and these threats and these, you know, verbal threats continue. So
the World Bank spring meeting, why should we be paying attention to what the World Bank is doing?
Oh, it's always good, I think, to listen to the communication that goes on. You know, when you get ministers of finance and world leaders together once a year, and it just seems like yesterday we were talking a year ago, mm-hmm. you know, 12 months ago about the same thing. It's always good to hear that dialogue and to listen to the posturing and the current topics. You know, whether it's the World Bank or the IMF, you know, their purpose out there is to help eliminate poverty, mm-hmm. global poverty, is to sit there and bring the economies of the world up and the standard of living up in the world. How are you going to do that with tariffs? How are you going to do that with America being the bad guy, you know, and wanting to negotiate everything? So that's going to be a hot topic. Will the markets care? Probably not. From what I'm hearing, the meeting in Washington, D.C., they're going to be talking a lot about women in business and women in global economics, mm-hmm. And we'll really be pushing that. It's great. I think it's fantastic. And those types of dialogues and those types of discussions going on about current events, I think, is healthy dialogue. I'm a big advocate of dialogue. You know, when you can talk, talk. If you can't talk, I think that's just a negative that hurts everything. What's going to come out of it? What's going to affect the markets? Probably nothing. But it's always good to sit there and see who's getting beaten up on and to sit there and advance these causes, you know, whether it's global poverty or, right. or women in the economic environment.
And a couple others, climate change and health, too, they're going to focus on. So they'll make loans. The World Bank could make loans to organizations that are helping in those areas.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's the purpose of the World Bank and the IMF. Now, you know, from their members, it's who are the larger, you know, who are the larger members that are there? And they're the ones that are really, making the majority of those loans, if you want to think of, or guaranteeing those loans behind them. And you know, that's always been the problem, whether it's with the IMF or the World Bank, is when these loans go bad, you know, countries come back and they say, sorry, we can't repay them. Okay, well, then what do? Well, let's renegotiate them and let's lend them more money. And at some point, that cycle, whether that happens two, three, or four times, ends. And it ends with, sorry, can't pay you back. Who's left holding the bag? So you say, well, the IMF and the World Bank's left holding the bag. Well, who are the larger players in that have made those loans and at the cost of that country, you know, to that country's taxpayers, to be honest with you? And usually that's the United States. So that's sort of the rub a little bit. I'm all for the world coming up as a whole, but, you know, we have to understand where the risk lies and where the dollar lies. So
I mentioned earlier, made the reference to dodgeball. I don't know about you, but when I played dodgeball in middle school, I was always like one of the first people to get hit with the ball. I think this might be the first time we've actually made the dodgeball economy, world economy analogy.
And we're getting pummeled.
Yeah, right.
We got everybody aiming the ball at us, and there's more than one ball out there being thrown around. I was that guy, too, so don't worry about it.
Don, always good chatting with you. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets, Foreign Exchange Rate Swaps, and Commodity Derivatives at Associated Bank. It's our Thought Leader Conversation, and we do it for you every Thursday. You can find our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter, and also head over to AssociatedBank.com/Thought Leadership to hear more conversations and learn more about our thought leaders.